Produced by PI Media. Is it possible to hack the biggest apps in the world? Facebook, Google, Amazon, these companies are more like empires than corporations. They employ enough people to fill cities, they own more wealth than entire nations, they control information at scales never before recorded in human history. But a dominion is only strong as its defenses. The Nazis were defeated because they couldn't maintain both a Western and Eastern front that spanned the length of Europe. The Jin Dynasty fell because the Great Wall of China couldn't keep out the Mongols. Silicon Valley mega corporations are only successful because they are so well guarded. If any hacker could crack your Instagram, you'd stop using Instagram. If a cyber criminal were to use your Amazon account to buy thousands of dollars in merchandise and then ship it to Russia on your dime, you'd probably start buying straight from vendor websites. Companies understand that their brands are only as strong as they are safe to use. So they set bounties on vulnerabilities, hundreds of thousands of dollars, $1 million, to any programmer who can find a hole in their sites. White hat hackers comb every line of code to try and earn the grand prize. And in return, the companies gain peace of mind, knowing the smartest minds out there can't break in. You might think then, if so much money goes towards securing these platforms, they must be unbreakable. But you'd be surprised what's out there. Hi, I'm Ran Levy, and this is the Checkpoint Research Podcast. And the following episodes of our show, we're going to poke holes in the world's biggest applications. We're talking about products and services with hundreds of millions, even billions of users, and utterly game-breaking security exploits. We'll be going into detail, step by step, to show you how the biggest apps in the world can be brought to their knees. And so we begin here with our first case study. It's the most popular app of the year, TikTok.
My name is Odede Vanunu. I am the head of products and vulnerability research in Checkpoint.
Recently, Oded and his team decided to look into the security of the TikTok app because, well, everybody else already was.
In the last 2 years, there were a lot of publications following U.S. Army and U.S. Governments, departments that started to announce that they would like to consider to ban TikTok. Actually, they started with saying that TikTok might be dangerous to the consumers or to the people, but no one actually provided any facts or any kind of proof of what's going on.
In a way, the story of TikTok security began the same as any other popular app that comes out of the Far East. Some of you will recall how FaceApp, originating from Russia, inspired an FBI investigation for its possible uses in Russian government data collection. Before that, Kaspersky antivirus was banned from all computers in US government buildings because of its Russian origins, and more recently, Huawei has been curbed or outright banned from the US and other allied countries for its potential connections with the Chinese government. TikTok, for some of the same reasons, has been highly scrutinized in the past few months. Government and security officials have questioned what a youth-oriented, user content-driven app could be used for should ByteDance, the company supporting the app, have any kind of relationship with the Chinese government. But that story magnified. Because recently, TikTok became something a whole lot different than FaceApp, Kaspersky, or Huawei. You see, Huawei and Kaspersky are important companies, but not exactly well known to the majority of people out there. Face app did go viral last year, picking up around 150 million downloads, according to some estimates. TikTok, on the other hand, isn't just a viral app. It's a coronavirus viral. As recently as Q4 2019, its user base was below 200 million. That's still a huge number, but as of today, TikTok has been downloaded around 2 billion times. Around 800 million people are active users. For context, that means more people use TikTok today than live on the continent of Europe.
So once you're able to take control and accounts on a network of 2 billion people, it's huge. It's in the level of geopolitical. The race for this kind of data is very big. I'm meaning also from government's hacking group. To get all on databases of images and pictures, this is gold in the cyber world.
Imagine what a criminal could do with an exploit into a system of such scale. It's reason enough for every hacker in their right mind to take a good look at TikTok and try their hand at breaking it. So let's step into the shoes of that hacker. How might you go about cracking the hottest app in the world? You can't just, you know, walk through the front door.
It's very hard today to see what we call one-way vulnerability, meaning shooting like a payload, some kind of packets that penetrate everything and you are inside the network. Usually, it's not happening anymore.
An app like TikTok, it doesn't have obvious exploits, easy to find 0 days. If it did, some hacker would have already found it and earned a small fortune for doing so. So breaking into TikTok by simply attacking it directly would be almost impossible for any ordinary cyber criminal. Instead, there's chain vulnerabilities, the attack methodology that can bring down even the biggest apps. Achieving a chained exploit is all about connecting small vulnerabilities together.
Today, because of the complexity, there is so much hybrid technology on the cloud. There is so many pieces of code. So potentially you will need to exploit a lot of pieces of technologies on the way till you will get your target.
Think about it like breaking into a building.
So first of all, you need to unlock the door. So this is one vulnerability. And then when you unlock the door, you need to unlock the camera or unlock the alarm. And then as long as you have obstacles in the house, meaning if there is like more doors or more locks, you need to bypass all of them.
Any given vulnerability in a chain on its own wouldn't constitute a hack. It may even be so minor that you'd hardly otherwise think about it. It's only in combination that these small holes constitute a whole attack. The first step in constructing a chain of vulnerabilities is to identify a weak point. Oded and his team, having researched similar social media apps before, knew exactly where to look for a soft spot in TikTok.
We decided to start look on the infrastructure and understand where are the attack vectors that will allow bad actors to penetrate and to be able to hijack accounts.
Accounts.
Today in social media and instant messaging, this is the highest, what we call attack vector today, to hijack account, to take over accounts.
User accounts are the weakest link in any communications software because they're the location at which the company maintaining the account hands ownership to the users who are not trained in cybersecurity. It's why phishing emails always go to the secretary, why Nigerian scams are sent to your mom's DMs. TikTok can only do so much to secure your account and stop you from clicking on things you shouldn't. Having identified the direction they wanted to take, the next step for Oded was to find a way to take advantage of it.
So we started to look where are the ways that bad actor can start the conversation with the victims. And we understood that there is a SMS channel with TikTok. Once you have this SMS channel, all the messages that coming from TikTok, coming from this vendor, and you have like updates and links that they are sending, following their updates platform.
TikTok regularly sends users updates and links through their mobile phones.
So we started to look on the SMS infrastructure, and then we found some vulnerabilities that allowed us to send SMS to any target that we want.
Towards the bottom of TikTok's website homepage, there was an input field where somebody interested in downloading the app could type their phone number to receive a link that would direct them to TikTok's page on the App Store. Of course, there were no restrictions on this input field. You could put your own phone number in, sure, but also your friend's number or a stranger's. There's no reason why an ordinary person would enter any number other than their own. But for a malicious actor who wants access to somebody else's account?
Now, I can send SMS to all TikTok users. This is a starting point from, let's talk from a chained vulnerabilities. This is a starting point from bad actor's perspective. Okay, I have hold on the communication process.
So the attacker enters the victim's phone number in the input field, and TikTok's website will try to send an SMS message with a download link embedded in it. I say try because the attacker can capture this message, actually still a simple HTTP request at that stage, before it is actually sent to the user. With that message at hand, the attacker can now peek into its content, modify the download link embedded in it, and then send the message on its way to the victim while still making it seem as if the message is coming from TikTok itself. This technique is known as SMS spoofing, and it's very easy to pull off. In fact, there are several open source tools and countless websites on the internet that allow SMS spoofing. An SMS exploit on its own is a good start, but there's only so much you can do with a text message on its own.
So what will be the next vulnerability that the hackers will look that will allow them to continue and trigger another vulnerability? Then we saw that TikTok are using deep links. And deep links, it's just a method that taking a long URL and just like make it very short.
Deep links are something we're all pretty familiar with. Maybe your friend sends you the link to some app you don't have on your phone, so iOS or Android redirects you to its page on the App Store. Or maybe you're scrolling on Safari and you click a link that doesn't just bring you to an app, but directs you to a specific page or piece of content within that app. Deep links are useful for developers to drive users directly to certain items of content. That SMS function on the TikTok homepage was an example of how deep links work in practice. Users type in their phone number and a link is sent that, when clicked, redirects them to the TikTok page in the App Store. In this way, a potential user is converted from interested to downloading in the most efficient way possible. Recall that the spoofed SMS message has an embedded URL, actually a field called download_URL. And that download_URL can contain such a deep link that would be sent to the individual's phone.
We saw that we can manipulate and send any URL that we want through their deep link, which means that I can use this system to redirect people to malicious sites.
At this point, a hacker could send the link to whatever website they wished. TikTok.com, Checkpoint.com, anything. But, of course, a link is no good unless it's clicked on. If a user got their TikTok SMS message with a link to some fishy-looking site, they might think twice about it.
Sophisticated hackers will not look for a vulnerability that will send me to a malicious site that will be probably alerted, or that the user will understand that, okay, this is not TikTok.
The hacker could send a domain that appears very similar to a TikTok domain, like TikTok.com with C's in it, like the real English words. Some people might not spot the difference. But we're not doing things halfway here.
So as I said, we had the SMS spoofing vulnerability, then we had the deep link that we could send any URL that we wanted, and then we found what we called cross-site scripting vulnerability on one of TikTok subdomains. And we noticed that TikTok are using something that's called CORS.
CORS stands for Cross-Origin Resource Sharing. It's a security mechanism that prevents a piece of code running in your browser, code served from a legitimate source, from loading some other code from a potentially shady source. As an analogy, say I'm walking into Five Guys fast food joint and order a hamburger. I love Five Guys burgers, but what if after I make my order, the cashier goes to the back of the restaurant and pulls out a frozen burger he got from some other fast food joint? I don't know, Four Guys. Four is less than five, so that's obviously a ripoff, right? The same thing can happen with web browsers. For example, say my browser is running some JavaScript code sent to me from TikTok.com. I trust TikTok.com, so that's not a problem. But what if that code could surreptitiously, behind my back, load some new JavaScript code from, say, iloveransomware.com? That could open my browser to a variety of attacks, which is why CORS exists.
So CORS, it's a browser mechanism, a browser security mechanism that makes sure that different pages from the same domain, they are the only one that shared information between them. Meaning, if I have domain X, so if I'm pressing on link that coming from domain Y, they will never share information between them.
TikTok manages hundreds of subdomains, such as login.tiktok.com and accounts.tiktok.com. Under normal circumstances, these subdomains should be separated by the CORS mechanism, so that a breach into one subdomain cannot be used as a stepping stone for breaching into other subdomains. Because in that case, if all of TikTok's subdomains can communicate with all the others, and a hacker breaches just one, they have the keys to everything.
So it means that once there is one vulnerability inside these pages, it means that if hackers can exploit it, they can hijack information from other pages of TikTok.
TikTok used CORS, but a flaw in its CORS configuration allowed Oded to use one subdomain, specifically ads.tiktok.com, to hack any one of many TikTok domains and use it as a springboard. In our case, ads.tiktok.com has a search bar, used by visitors to find information about how to create and publish ads on TikTok. But that search bar has another vulnerability. Instead of accepting only simple search terms, it also accepts JavaScript code. That injected code gets sent to the server and then executed. Okay, this is a long chain of attacks, so let's rewind and see where we got so far. We started with a spoofed SMS message that seems as if it was sent by TikTok, but was actually intercepted and modified by the attacker en route to the victim. That message now contains a fabricated link that, when clicked on, can send the victims anywhere the attacker wishes. But we're not just sending the victims to some random server. We're sending them to a specific subdomain called ads.tiktok.com, a real bona fide TikTok subdomain. What's more, we're sending them with all the cookies that identify the users to TikTok as themselves. Lastly, the request to ads.tiktok.com now contains some JavaScript code that gets injected into the search bar and executed by TikTok's servers as legitimate code. At this point, the user is done for. Due to the coarse misconfiguration, the injected JavaScript code can access other subdomains, such as, for example, accounts.tiktok.com, and perform actions that, as far as TikTok is concerned, seem to come from the users themselves.
And once users getting SMS from TikTok, with URL coming from TikTok, and he click the URL, it trigger the attack. What happening behind the scene is that he is executing the code injection, and this HTML injection, what is doing, it's taking his keys, the keys that allows him to access the TikTok application, and send the keys to the attacker that sends the spoofed SMS. And once the attacker gets the keys, it means that he gets the account.
With full access to the user's account, the attacker can do what they please. They can steal personal data like email, phone, and credit card numbers. Or they can do much worse.
We said that TikTok is 2 billion users, okay? So let's say that I'm hijacking account or taking over account of some famous personnel that has like millions of followers. Imagine that I can take a private video of him and make it public. Imagine that he has a video that had like, let's say, 100 million views, and to delete it. Okay? This is one aspect. This is big. Now, in the world of fake news, think about what kind of messages and misleading information I can send throughout this media.
In summary, we began by identifying the weak point in TikTok's cybersecurity, their users' accounts. Next, we found means of communicating with those users via the SMS bar on the company's homepage. We identified that the data being sent to users came in the form of a deep link, but we knew that manipulating the link would alert the users. So instead, we used a vulnerability in the site's course implementation to actually breach an entirely separate part of the company's web infrastructure, then execute a cross-site scripting attack that could embed the legitimate link with malicious code. Thus, we've chained many smaller vulnerabilities into one larger exploit. It's really quite elegant. For all these steps we had to take, the users, for their part, sees none of it. All they see is a text from TikTok on their phone linking to a TikTok domain. They wouldn't have any reason to suspect a thing. But once they click, their account is compromised.
From Checkpoint Research perspective, our day-to-day we are tracking bad actors' activities. We see how the attacks are going. We see how hackers penetrate into assets. We see on many, many cases that they are using chained vulnerability, starting to attack from one technology, jump to another technology, jump to another technology, till they're getting like full permission to where they want to go. So this method is something that's happening for a while.
Chained vulnerabilities are popular today because they subvert the normal ways we do cybersecurity. We said it earlier. You simply won't crack TikTok by going in through the front door because there's too much money behind it. Too many security professionals and hackers before that have searched for, identified, and patched up major vulnerabilities in the code. But the chained vulnerability methodology disregards all that. It combines security holes too insignificant for programmers to pick on, too minor for bounties, throwaways in security checks.
We're talking about you know, the steps on the chain themselves, I can imagine, they don't always seem that serious on their own, right? Like if you just look at this SMS bar on the website, you don't think of it as the biggest problem in the world.
Exactly.
Is this part of the problem or am I just misunderstanding?
This is exactly the point.
Okay.
This is like small vulnerabilities if you take each of them like and put it aside. But this is exactly the awareness that we're trying to provide, and this is what we see. It's a small vulnerabilities, but once you chain them, you have the account. And that's it. It's a game over.
Game over. That's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. For past episodes, visit Checkpoint's research blog at research.checkpoint.com, and you can follow Checkpoint Research on Twitter or follow me at @ranlevi. That's R-A-N-L-E-V-I. CP Radio is produced by PI Media, written by Nate Nelson, produced by Guy B. Noon, and edited and narrated by me, Ran Levi. See you next episode. Bye-bye.